I want to tell you one of the reasons I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But being that it's Father's Day, I want to tell you something my dad did for me. This was around the year 2000, and I was in leadership training at the ARC. And being on time and having your homework completed was a pretty strong rule. It was the rule around here. And if you didn't have it completed or on time, then, you know, you didn't. So there's this one Friday night for the meeting, and I got off work, and everything was great. I had plenty of time to get ready. Got ready. My homework was done. Washed up. Figured I'll pick up dinner on the way to eat it at the ARC. So everything was going great. So got in the car. Went to pick up my dinner, was driving down to the ARC, plenty of time, no problem. It was traffic hour. So going toward my house, traffic was pretty bad, but going toward town, because I live in Mililani, traffic was pretty easy. Okay, so picking it all up, got all ready, all happy, all encouraged. And then, so I'm driving down, and right around IAEA, just before the H3, I get this thought, where's my homework? And I'm like, you know, looking around, where's my homework? So before I get on the H3, I take off at IAEA, and I'm like, I forgot my homework. I don't believe it. I forgot my homework. And I'm early today. And I'm like, if I go home because of traffic and then pick up my homework, come back, I'm going to be late. And my team is going to get a 0. And we're going to pay a penalty. So my thought was, if I go there without homework, it's a 0. If I go there late, it's a 0. So I get this idea. If I was still at home and left now, I could still make it on time for the meeting. Then I get this thought. I think if someone from home brought the paper to me in IAEA, I could probably still make it on time. So I call my dad, and I explain it, and I tell him what's going on. And he's like, yeah, okay. Where's it at? I tell him. He's like, yeah, okay. No problem. Come down, bring it. So gotta understand, this time my dad, he's doing chemotherapy also. And this is like the fourth, you know, cycle chemo that he's on. And I know he is resting. And so while he's, takes him about like 25 minutes to come, but I'm thinking about what's going on, what is he doing? Like, he just so willingly said, yeah, okay, no problem. I got it. Like, you know, I was so thankful, so appreciative that even now when I think about it, brings tears to my eyes. So anyway, he brings it, I get it, I thank him, and then I know he has to go back home in traffic. But praise God, got it. I get to the meeting on time. I walk in just before it starts, so we're good. So I thought, wow, that was so awesome. So awesome that he would do something like that for me. Seemed like a small thing, but no, it's really something big when you think about the whole thing. So that brings me to one of the main reasons I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, growing up, I believed in God, but I didn't know God. And by this time, I was about 40 years old, and I wanted to know God. You know, for the rest of my life, I believe in God, but I want to know God. And so, long story short, come to find out and learn that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. And that's the only way, that's the way to know God. So I accept him, and I'm saved, born again at the ark. But this is the scripture that I was reading lately that really helped me, because I really wanted to know God. So in Psalms, you can chant, go there, Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." And making it short, again, I read the whole psalm, and I kept reading it like 5 times. And it's like God's talking to me. He's telling me, this is who you are. This is who I am. This is how I want you to see me, and these are things that I want you to know about me. And wanted to share this today because it's Father's Day, and because fathers are awesome guys, they're awesome people, and and we should always praise them because they're worthy of it. And that's what I wanted to share. Amen. If you can receive it. Amen. I'm not sure I can do it. All right, so here at the Ark, there are three easy ways to give. Whichever way you choose to give, we ask that you please fill out a giving slip, and the ushers will bring a basket up to the front in which you could bring your offering to the Lord and present yourself before Him. And if you're a guest here, we want you to know that we treasure you. So someone might come up to you and give you a handshake and you know, wish you well, or even put something in your hand. And we want you to know that that's for you, because we want you to know that we treasure you. And so when the music starts, could you come up and present yourself to the Lord? Amen. All right, everyone. If you could stretch your faith toward the offering. Lord, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. And may bring glory to your name. And we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And now, I present Pastor Jake.
Man, you guys are way too kind. We'll fix the microphone in just a little bit. Don't worry about it. Hey, would you do this? Would you all just be willing to stand and just give Jesus a big shout? Jesus, we just love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. We love you, Jesus. Come on. Amen. Would you have your seats? Well, we are going to we're going to do this. We're going to go ahead and turn our kids class teachers loose. Wait, kids, hold on. Let the teachers get there first. They're slower than you. I've seen them run. We're going to turn our kids class teachers loose. Kids, you can go ahead and now rush them, tackle them to the ground, pummel them on your way. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless these teachers. We bless the parents. Lord God, we bless these kids. And we ask you that you would just cause the word of God to grow up in them and let them become the men and women of God that you're calling them to be with fruit that would remain in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, hey, I'm Pastor Jake. I'm the lead pastor of this church. And in just a little while, I have the honor and the privilege of preaching a message to you, specifically tailored towards Father's Day. But really, it's tailored towards your life, taking on a whole new realm. And I know they're going to get the microphone sorted out in just a little while. Otherwise, I'll get it sorted out just to help them out. So you guys just let me know if you're done fiddling back there. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is we've actually got some amazing testimonies that we want some people to be able to share with you about what happened with them this last weekend. If you didn't know, we had a guest speaker in. His name is Brother David Hogan. He's a minister from the United States, been an evangelist to Mexico, way out in the regions where they've never even seen white people. And so he ministers out there. He's been out there about 43 years, raising the dead. Their ministry has raised over 500 people from the dead. He personally has raised over, I think it was 37 people now from the dead, and not the kind like they just died like a couple minutes or something and came back, even though that's major, but people that have been dead 4 days, rotting in the ground, come back to life. And, you know, we invited them here so that they could minister the power of God, the grace of God to us, and not only that, but to believe God with you so that miracles could happen in your lives. And so today we're going to have some opportunity for some people to give some testimony, because testimony is important and testimony is powerful. And so with that being said, would you please give a very warm welcome to Tiara as she just comes to share what God did for her this past weekend. Go ahead, preach it, girl. Yeah, you gotta love the microphone. Come on.
I don't like the microphone, actually, but I'm gonna use it. So, if you guys don't know, recently I had a baby. Thank you. 6 weeks ago. Well, during my pregnancy, I was diagnosed with an ASD, atrial septic disorder. That's basically a hole in your heart, a defect, I'm sorry. That's a hole in your heart that I was born with. Didn't know about it, never had any complications until this pregnancy. I've had two prior children, no problems. So I had some breathing issues, oxygenation issues, everything like that. So I was under care of a cardiologist. And so we prayed about it, and we came to the meetings with Brother Hogan, and went to have a procedure done to test the size of the hole the following Monday. And they didn't find a hole. So we are definitely thankful. Of course, they are saying that they are going to consult with the cardiology team to go over these results, but we all know that Jesus is King. So, amen.
Man,
That is good news. We're going to get this thing fixed up in just a moment here. All right. How many of you know that that's maybe a minor miracle to have a hole in your heart and then no hole in your heart? That's pretty awesome. Someone that also had something happen to them. I don't even know all these stories. I'm getting them right now. But I want to invite Christille if she would come and share what God did in her heart and in her life over this past series of meetings. You need me to stand with you? You all right?
Yeah,
I don't need to hold you up, right? Right? You good?
I'm good. I'm good. Praise God. I just knew Brother Hogan would bring something, and Pastor Jake was saying he's a catalyst. And I was expecting, and I'm crazy like that, that I expect, because that's who God is, and he won't let me down. And so I wanted just, when I look at David Hogan and the other generals and even our own pastors, the endurance and the persevering spirit, because when you're doing something for a long time, you need to endure. It's a lot of times when you're a new believer or a youth and doing anything, you do it on your own strength and might, but that runs out. And so I needed to grab hold of something deeper and something like Brother Hogan that, you know, it's like a battlefield out there and things keep coming, but he still persevered and even doing greater things. You know, he didn't give up. He's not retiring. So I came expecting and wanting that. And through the meetings, because I've been praying for, I want to say, like, a couple of years, like, for revival in my heart. You know, revival starts in our own heart. And it was that, like, I wanted to be on fire again, like, when we first, you know, when I first got saved. And I want to see the crazy miracles. I want to do all of that. And I wanted to be hungrier and crazier than when I first got saved. And I just believe he did that this weekend, because it's a fire in me that's burning and going out and encouraging others and part of my purpose. So for me, it was like it cannot stop. And now I know better. I have to just keep pressing forward and just holding on to the word. But it's got me hungrier for the things of God and just being crazy about him that I'm not going to stop. So I'm not going to give the enemy place in my life anymore. And yeah, I'm going to fight. And I'm going to encourage the body of Christ to fight too. And I'm going to encourage others. And if the devil gets in my way, I'm going to put him on the side. And I'm going to praise God in front of his face. But anyways, yeah, I'm getting all excited because that's what he's done in me. He's just lit my heart on fire. And yeah, I'm not giving up. So God is good and faithful. Yeah.
And that is awesome, Christille. Well, we've got one more testimony for you guys of something that the Lord has done, and I'm anxious to hear this testimony too. So would you please give a very warm welcome to Dawn as she comes to share what God did in her life over this past weekend.
Can I just say that God is so good? So good. So if you don't know me, I get emotional, so I will cry. I will probably have to stop and take a moment. And God just been doing so much, just amazing. So I'm going to share with you the word first, because God works through his word. And so Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And in my Dake's Bible, there's a notation that says, while all things are working, God's providence is working in behalf of them who love God, who walk obediently according to his purpose. Okay, so I have been taking prescription blood pressure medication since I was 26. I am now 42. You can do the math. So earlier this year in March, my blood pressure reading was really high. Can I have a tissue? My blood pressure reading was really high to where my doctor increased my medication. And basically, she put me on 6.25 milligrams of carvedilol 2 times a day. And shortly thereafter, I had this bad reaction. This reaction caused me not to be able to stand or walk. So we immediately stopped that medication. I mean, she put me on another medication, another group of medications. This was 1, hydrochlorothiazide, and 2, losartan, and they were all 25 milligrams. I had a reaction again, and so reduced it. Three losartan. So reduced it to 1 hydrochlorothiazide and 2 losartan. At the same time that this was happening, I learned about the DNA testing. I took the test and made my appointment to review the results with Dr. Mark. So fast forward to the week the Hogans were coming. And like I just read in scripture, that all things work together for those who love Christ. So I knew the Hogans were coming. My body is still having reactions. And my doctor scheduled me for an MRI. This was the Monday before the Hogans were coming. I did the MRI, and that night I had a really bad reaction that caused me to have to stay, to be bruised and have to stay home and recover for 3 days. It's the same week that the Hogans were here, were coming. After that reaction, I started to change my diet, and I had my appointment with Dr. Mark, and he went over a bunch of things, and I learned that the high priorities for me and my body is that I need to detoxify and minimize inflammation. So that was Thursday. Friday, the Hogans were here during service, and God was speaking to me to get prayer. And I brought up a bunch of prayer cloths and had Brother Hogan pray over them, and Sister Debbie pray over them. And that night, other things were happening. Sorry, there are just so many things happening. That same week, my car, the check engine light came on, and it wasn't running as smooth. And another thing happened where I got this overwhelming email, and I decided to call somebody. I decided to reach out because things were just overwhelming with my health, overwhelming with that email and my car. And this God-filled woman told me to be aware of the devices of the enemy. And that's exactly what I needed to hear. to refocus my eyes on God. And so when it was time to receive prayer on Friday night, I went up and I got prayer. And God just started speaking to me more, like more where I could hear him, and just gentle and letting me know that he was there for me, and that I could trust him and trust his word. So Saturday, so I put one of the cloths in my car. And Saturday came, and my check engine light wasn't on anymore. And my car was running smooth. And I was like, oh, okay, God, you know. It's a little thing, but it's an important thing that God cares. He cares about the little things in our lives, you know. So Saturday at service, I got prayed for at the end of service, just like everyone else. And God told me to go up again. And I was like, sorry. And I was like, God, I already went up. And he tells me, Tanya, your politeness is not going to get you your healing. Your pride is not going to get you your healing. Yeah. I said, okay. I will go up. No matter how ridiculous I feel, no matter what I was thinking, I went up again. And I just, when it was my turn, Brother Hogan came up to me, and I just said, I want more. I want more of God. I want more fire. I want my healing. And he said, okay. And he laid hands on me again, and I was down for the count again. And during that time, God was telling me that, Don, I'm going to heal you on the third day. And I don't know, you know, there are things going on, and I don't know what he's going to heal. I don't know what he's going to do. And at that time, I didn't feel any different when people laid hands on me than I ever did before. It was just the same. And I was like, God, I don't feel anything. And he just says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you feel, how you feel, what you think. I'm still God. I'm still King. I'm still your healer. So Sunday, God said I was going to be healed. And so during prayer, I went up again and got prayed for again. And I didn't feel any different again. I didn't think anything different. But that doesn't matter. So since the time that I fell, I had started to change my diet. I was following what Dr. Mark had prescribed or recommended, and I got prayed for, just like God said, every time he said to go. That is obedience, by the way. Listen to God. And since that time, today, I can tell you that I am down to 125 milligram Losartan. I went 5 days without having any different episodes with not being able to stand. Oh. and God's not done. He's going to fully heal me of that. He's going to fully take it away because it doesn't belong there. And when I got my results from the neurologist with my MRI, he couldn't diagnose me. He just told me, I don't have a diagnosis for you. It is not this, what my PCP was saying. It is not this or this. I don't have a diagnosis. Just keep doing what you're doing with your eating. You know, and that's just an anti-inflammatory meal thing. And if God can heal through food, which he made food, clean, raw, organic food, God made that. If he can heal through that, he will heal through that. Sorry. Then he can do anything. It takes his word, trusting in his word, trusting in what the people that God's put in our lives, that they're anointed, being undercover, trusting people who trust God to pray and be in agreement with you. It takes men like Brother Hogan to come and give us the word of God to help God to work in our lives. And that's it.
Man, isn't that an awesome testimony? Can I just say this, and if I step on your toes, move your toes out of the way. Can I just tell you that lukewarm, mediocre Christianity will disappoint you at every turn? Yeah. Sitting on the fence is the most uncomfortable place to sit. I suggest that you get off the fence and that you move in one direction or the other. And I challenge every one of us, myself included, that we would move in the direction that God wants us to be, which is hot for God. That it's time to turn the thermostat up in your relationship with God. It's not time to back down. Just because you've been serving God for a long time, religion will not get you to where you want to be. A relationship with God that's on fire, that is full of living, experiential relationship with God is what will take you to where you need to be. And if we don't have that, you will die a slow, painful, horrible, religious death. And that is not what I want for you. That's not what God wants for you. And I challenge you to live an exciting life through Jesus Christ. If your life is boring, that's because you're boring, not because God's boring. It's time to get off the bench and get onto the field and get into the game. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Sorry, if I stepped on your toes again, just move your feet. It's all right. You'll be okay. Can you say amen? Yep. Hey, before I get into preaching this message to you today, I just want to recognize some folks that are here with us. Some of you may remember them, and they're the very tall people that are here. And you might remember JJ and Tessie Borgia, and it's now Pastor JJ. Good to have you guys with us. And their amazing family, CJ, who just graduated from high school. Congratulations. And Sarah and Rayma and David, great to have you guys with us. They're doing ministry in Southern California, tearing it up for Jesus, and we're glad that they're still a part of our family here at the Ark, and it's great to have you guys with us and to worship with you today. So make sure that you greet them, give them a big hug and everything. You'll want to get to meet them if you've never met them before. They are absolutely superior people, and it'll be a blessing in your life for you to get to know them. I want to say one last thing before I get started. We are about to start into a new Bible college year. We're about to start that on August 7th, and we're going to be going back to some wells that were dug many years ago in this church. We're going to be going through International Miracle Institute, and that's the organization, that's the school where I got my degrees from, my master's and my doctorate in theology, and it's a great place to know this. Remember, I've shared with you that somebody once said, if you don't know who you are, you'll live like someone else. And it is an amazing place to find out two things, to find out who you are and to find out who God is. And if you don't know those things, you will live like someone else. I want to challenge you that you would make the time to be there. If you've got kids, hey, look, my kids went through International Miracle Institute with us. They just sat there on the floor. They do their homework. They color, whatever it is. If you need to put them down for bed, hey, guess what? Bring a toothbrush. Bring a blanket. Brush your teeth. Let them be in the presence of God. I want to challenge you to not back down from where you're going, but I want to challenge you to step into and to step up to what it is that you've got in front of you. No one's been disappointed by giving everything they've got. But people have absolutely been disappointed by only giving a part of what they have. I challenge you, if you've been dabbling around the things of God for a long time, maybe you're a part-time Christian, I challenge you to be a full-time Christian. I challenge you to show up to Bible college and learn. If you don't like what you're learning, just forget it. It's that easy. But if it changes your life will be better. If you want your life to be better than it is today, you've got to do something different than you're doing right now. And it's not less than what you're doing. I'll just give you that clue. It's more than what you're doing. It doesn't change my life one bit whether or not you show up, but it'll change your life. And I challenge you to be there. Can you say amen to all that stuff? I hope it's all right. I really appreciate this lay, but it's going to get in my way when I'm preaching. So I'm going to take this off, and it will be available for me later on. I am not good at making titles. And so if you want a title for your message, my title is Supernatural Dad-ing. Or maybe, I hope it's not a bad word in Filipino. Sounds Filipino to me. Dading. I don't know. Dading. Supernatural dadding. I want to tell you, though, before I start talking about this stuff, that this is not a message just for dads. This is a message for everybody, for every Christian. It's a message for moms. It's a message for kids. Kids, you know your parents are not perfect. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But you know what? You still got to respect us. Amen. And you still got to honor us. And you still got to respect us. You know why? Because the Bible says if you want to have long life on this earth, honor your father and your mother, right? And your days will be long on the earth. That is the first commandment with a promise. And so I want to teach you even today how you can respond to your parents so that you can get the most out of your relationship with them. Can I tell you that no matter what it looks like sometimes, your parents want amazing things for you, and I want to help your parents, so say thank you. I want to help your parents so that they can help to parent you better and get you into the divine destiny that God has for your life. I promise that God has great things in store for you. You know, I want to just kind of bring this up inside of us. Let me ask you this question. Parents, dads, super dads, what is it that you want for your children? If you're any kind of a parent at all, I'm going to tell you that this is what you want for your kids. Number one, most parents want their kids to be better people than they ever are. Is that right? You want your kids to be better than you are, and your kids are like, oh, thank God, I can be better than my parents. Yes, you can, but you're not there yet, so back down just a little bit. Number two, parents, most parents want their kids to accomplish more than they have accomplished. How many parents can I see a hand right now? I want my kids to be better, faster, stronger, richer, more influential than I ever am in this life. I want that for them. The third thing that many parents, most parents, God-fearing parents, and even those that don't fear God that much want for their kids is they want their kids to live a better life than they've lived. We want that for our kids. Those of you that are still living in your parents' house, aren't you thankful that that's what your parents want for you? Yeah. Now, we might not always do it the right way, and we might not always make it seem that way, but you know what? Really, when you get down into our heart, this is what we want for you. And if we can do it in such a way that you can experience all of that, how many of you kids out there, you would be thrilled to be better, faster, stronger, more accomplished, all of that. I see those hands. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you about how we can make that happen today. How do we make those desires a reality? Dads, as the biblical head of your home, see, I didn't write the Bible. I just read the Bible. But as the biblical head of your home, the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. It's up to us to set the tone and to show the way. Dads, that's a lot of responsibility. I feel the pressure of it. I need to show the way. You know, if things don't work out right, I have to take a lot of the responsibility for that. I've got to take the buck stops here thing with that. It's important that I realize that there is a responsibility that I carry. It's not totally up to God. Just because I dedicated my kids to the Lord doesn't mean it's God's total responsibility to just take care of them kids. It's my responsibility working with God. So let's figure out how to do that. Let me tell you what the current situation is. The current situation is something sort of like this, that I think that most men, most dads might do the natural side of fathering, that they provide, they care, they nurture, some maybe a little bit more than others. They teach natural skills like maybe how to kill things, how to build things, how to break things, how to do crazy stuff, right, dads? You teach your kids how to do crazy stuff. We've got a dad who's a stuntman over here. You think he doesn't teach his kids how to stunt? They're in there. They show videos online of them tumbling all over stuff, flipping over stuff, kicking one another, punching one another, falling down. I'm not sure if it's real or fake, but it looks pretty good to me. We teach our kids how to do crazy stuff. My son has his own knife sharpening business. He's 11 years old. Most people are like, you give your kid a knife? Like, yeah, he had one for a long time before he learned how to sharpen it. Now he makes scary sharp knives, you know? But I also taught him how to use it, which is important. He's only cut himself once. That was because he wanted to check how sharp a knife was coming out of the dishwasher. He found out that we keep sharp knives in our home. See, most parents, most dads know how to do this natural stuff. We teach them about finances and all that stuff. But, do we teach them how to live supernaturally God's best life? I think that we're doing our kids a disservice if we only teach them the natural stuff in life and we don't teach them how to live supernaturally. You know why? Because supernaturally has just got to be better than naturally. It's super after all. I mean, when you put regular gasoline in your car, that's one thing. But when you put super in your car, that's a whole different deal. You start putting some jet fuel in that bad boy, you're going to go really fast. You know, I believe that we can only pass on a superior life by passing on a supernatural life. That's the only way. Otherwise, it's just normal. It's just natural. It's just average. It's just mediocre. It's just the median kind of a life. I don't want my kids to live an average life. I want my kids to live a supernatural, above average life. I want them to live like the Daniel kind of a life, where they're 10 times better than anyone around them. Why? Not so that they can just puff out their chest and say, I'm 10 times better, but because they'll live a 10 times better life. If I could live a 10 times better life, I would do it right now. That's why I'm serving Jesus, so I can live a better life than I could live without Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Let me turn you to a scripture real quick, because I don't have too long to preach. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. If you're with me in your Bible, you can open it there. Otherwise, it should be up here on the screen. I'm going to use the King James Version of the Bible for this scripture. It says this, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. I don't know about you, but the impossible becoming possible sounds like a major upgrade to me. It was impossible, but now it's possible. I like that. You know, there's certain things that I just cannot do, like surf. Don't laugh at me. I know I live in Hawaii. I know I'm born and raised here, but I can't surf to save my life. I can ride two dolphins at the same time, but I can't surf. And you know, to be able to surf would be better than to not be able to surf. To be able to do impossible things is better than them just being impossible. You know, your kids might have some things that are impossible for them, but what if they could get Jesus in the middle of that and the impossible becomes possible? I think that's a major upgrade. We ought to upgrade our kids. So what does supernatural fatherhood or parenting look like? Let me give you a few things that supernatural parenting and fathering looks like. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this, train up. I want you to highlight that word, train. Now, if you don't highlight, mark up whatever your Bible hey, look, it's just paper and ink. The word of God is something that's hidden in your heart. You cannot hide paper in your heart, okay? So you have to hide the word of God in your heart. One of the ways to do that is to study it, to break it apart, to begin to give it honor. And if you were to look in my Bible, there's probably more highlighted than is not highlighted. I should just not highlight the parts that are important and just highlight the ones I don't care about. But you know what? Highlight your Bible. Train up a child. Now, when we read this verse, for those of you that have been around the things of the Lord for a long time, you look at the end of the verse, not the beginning of the verse. Here's what this verse says. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, we want to grab onto that last part, that when they're old, they won't depart from it. But how do you get to that? You got to do the first part. It's an if-then statement, right? If you train them up, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. Sometimes we just hold on and our prayer looks more like this. We're just crossing our fingers hoping to die that Jesus will take care of them and they won't walk away from him or they'll come back to the things of God. What if we actually train them? What does training look like? Well, I looked up a definition. I looked up a Merriam-Webster definition. This is what it says. The definition of training in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is this. The action of teaching a person or animal. How many of you know your kids are animals? If they bite you even once, they're an animal. The act of teaching a person or animal a particular, listen, particular skill. Not just a general skill, a particular skill or a type of behavior. See, that's what training is it's teaching, instilling an animal how to live a specific, particular kind of a way. This is what the word train means when you look it up in the actual Greek language. So when you look it up in the Greek language, for those of you Bible scholars out there, it is the Greek number 2596 in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And it says this, it is a primitive or primary root, and properly it means to narrow. You want to highlight that if you've got your note sheet there. It means to narrow, or figuratively, to initiate or to discipline. I know we don't like that word discipline. I mean, parents, you might like that word discipline. I don't know about you. I like it when my children are disciplined. I don't like the process of discipline. The Bible says that all discipline is not pleasurable. Can I hear an amen? Amen. During the moment. But it causes the peaceable fruit of righteousness to come. Yep. Righteousness is what we're after. Spankings are not what we're after. We're after righteousness. But you can't have one without the other. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Yeah. I'm not advocating beating. I am advocating instilling righteousness into your children. Yeah. The Bible says that the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from your children. Yeah. It's important that you do it biblically. Now listen, why is the narrow life, the training life? See, training is very narrow. Training isn't just whatever you want to do. You know how I learned that? Playing sports. Because everybody wants to show up and they just want to scrimmage. I like scrimmage. Can we just spar today? Yeah, but you punch like a windmill. Like learn how to punch first, then spar. Right? You got to narrow the focus so that you're not just everywhere. When I go shooting sometimes, people are like, bang, 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 bang. And they shoot all of the bullets in their magazine, not their clip, their magazine. They shoot them all. They shoot them all real fast. And their grouping looks like this. I think one of them hit him. That's called accuracy by volume. It's called hitting someone by accident. You see, it's important that we start to have a laser focus. There is a bullseye in the middle of the bullseye for a reason. You're supposed to hit that, not everything but that. So training is meant to narrow our scope. It's meant to bring us in to a laser-focused, particular style of living. Here's why. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says this. Enter by the what gate? The narrow gate. You know what that means? The gate doesn't have much room for error. It's a narrow gate. It's a thin gate. It's a place like, I don't know if you ever seen like videos online, because probably you go down the rabbit hole in YouTube when you're out there and you're watching cat videos and whatever, and invariably you will find a St. Bernard trying to come in through the cat door. And the St. Bernard comes in and boom, he gets his head in there and that's it. And now the St. Bernard is stuck in the cat door. See, it is a narrow door. We've got to be able to get in through a narrow space. How do you do that? The only way to do that is through training, by getting things narrow. We don't, in other words, get into the things of God by accident. And parents, if you're hoping that your kids will find the ways of God by accident, you are fooling yourself, big time. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. In other words, it takes no skill, it takes no talent, it takes no training to find a way to destruction. Easy. It's all around us. Just go in any direction but the narrow one. And there are many who go in by it. They go through the destruction gate because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. In other words, it is rare that someone accidentally stumbles upon the narrow life with Jesus Christ. It's very rare that someone just all of a sudden says, I think I'm going to seek God today. It's very rare that without a child being trained in some way to believe in a loving, living, breathing, amazing God, that they'll find him and seek after them with their whole heart, even at the end of life. So it's important that we train. Check this out. I'm almost out of time, but Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen, dads, moms, households, can I tell you how you train? This is how you train. Listen, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Say, it starts with me. See, it doesn't start with our kids. We can't want our kids to live holy and we live however. It's not do what I say, not what I do. First of all, it has to get into my heart. Say, it starts with me. It starts right here. Therefore, you shall lay these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them. That means tie them up as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. What does that mean? It's like that zit on your nose. That's all it means. Frontlet between your eyes, it's like a zip between your nose or right on top of your nose so that you see it and that's all you see. It's like Rudolph, right? It's there. It reminds you every time you look in the mirror, you see it. Not only that, but every time you're around other people, they see it. And you know that they're not watching your mouth as you're talking. They're looking at the zit on your nose. You know what I'm talking about. Kids that don't have acne yet, may the Lord bless you with no acne in Jesus' name. But if you ever get that zit on your nose or on your forehead that makes you look like a special creature called a unicorn, you'll know that people aren't paying attention to your eyes. They're looking at the zit on you. That's what the Word of God should be in our life, parents. It ought to be frontlets between our eyes. So when our kids see us, you know what they see? They see the Word of God. They see the lifestyle of heaven. They see the word laid up in our hearts. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. It's not in our back pocket. It's not just in our bedroom, but it is the first thing that you see when they enter the room. Amen? Amen. I know I'm calling you out. I don't care. Verse 19, you shall teach them to your children. So the things that you laid up in your heart and in your soul and all that stuff, yeah, you teach that. How do you teach that? Same way you teach them, you know, you got to do the claw when you cut your stuff. For those of you that have never learned that principle, you probably look like that, like Yakuza or something. You got to do the claw, right, so that you don't chop your fingers off, especially if you use dull knives, the worst instrument in the kitchen. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them. Listen, you ought to speak about that in your house. If it stays in church, baby, you are missing it. Speak about it in your house. When you walk, by the way, where is that? Anywhere. It's like, by the way, you know, it's just anywhere you are. As you're walking, talk about it, right? Then it says, when you lie down. You mean when I'm sleeping? Yeah, in your sleep, talk about it. And when you rise up, when you get up first thing in the morning, instead of saying Sanka, Sanka, Shandai, Sanka, whatever, you should be talking about the goodness and the mercy and the greatness of God that's in your heart and in your soul. Sorry, am I getting a little too close to home? Verse 20, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I don't know about you guys, but we got some scriptures up on our house. Like the way that we do things, like that's in there. You should write it down so that it's plain, so you can see it. This is how we do things in our house. And written on your gates, when people come in your house, they ought to know this is the place where God lives. Amen. Like, we're not going to tolerate the F-bombs and stuff flying around in this house. Because I know that when you walk into court, you're not going to drop an F-bomb to that judge up there because he's going to slap the cuffs on you. You're going to jail. You can control that. You can control that in my house too. Am I being too rough? You guys okay? Roughing you up a little bit? All right. Verse 21, that your days, listen, this is the reason why you do all this stuff. The zit on your forehead, the words in your heart, talking about it everywhere, when you lay down, when you stand up, when you get up, when you go to sleep, all that stuff, this is the reason why. That your days, listen, and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. In other words, a good place. So that you can live in a good place and your kids can live in a good place. Verse 22, for if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Now, I know that might not sound real exciting in the old way of talking. This is what it means. People that are better than you, stronger than you, more qualified than you, simply by the mere fact that your parents have trained you up to live in the way of God, you're going to be accepted before they are. Not because you're qualified, but because God made a covenant with you that you're awesome. Yeah. God made a deal with you that if you would follow his ways, then he would promote you. Yeah. You know that promotion doesn't come from your boss. Promotion comes from the Lord. Yeah. And if we would just simply train our children to live in that way, they don't even have to be superior. God just promotes them. Yeah. They don't have to actually be better. They're just better. God comes alongside them and helps them out. And all that hard work that you toiled and that you sweated, see, when you go all the way back to the garden, see, Adam never even had to toil or sweat or nothing to make stuff grow. God just made it grow. But when he sinned and when he separated himself from God, what did the Bible say? The Bible says, now you're going to make your living by the sweat of your brow. You had to work hard. How many of you out there work hard? I mean, maybe not right now. Maybe you're between working hard. But, like, you worked hard. You worked hard for your kids to provide them a life. I mean, you know, I had to go to a hospital yesterday in the middle of a project that I was doing, trying to write this sermon and all that. I went to a hospital yesterday to pray for somebody and their baby. I don't know about you, but that interrupted my day. That was a little bit hard. And nobody else was there. I went there. You see, it's important that you understand that if you don't want your kids to have to work that hard, if you don't want them to have to work as hard and slave as naturally as you have, do it supernaturally. Do it through the God way. Train them narrowly. Go through the narrow door. See, the wide door was hard. It's easy to get through the door, and then everything beyond that point is hard. But when you go through the narrow door, see, once you train hard enough, everything else is easy. Everything else is easy when you train hard enough. Here's a few things that you can do if you're interested in how you can actually practically apply this in your house. You can use things like simulation. What does that mean? Here, I'm going to pretend that I got a shriveled up arm. Come here and pray for me. You, come here. Pray for me. I got a shriveled up arm. We're going to do a simulation. Go ahead. Amen. Poof. Amen. See? Thank you for not saying make his arm like the other one. Poof. No, the other way. Poof. Oh, no. Now, see, we got to use simulation. I mean, just find a way. Tell them, you know, whatever. And have them act in faith, believing. Learn how to pray for people. If you never prayed for a dead person, you probably don't know how to pray for a dead person. You know how I know that? Because I prayed for dead people. I had no idea what to do when I got there. I just did whatever I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. And that's how you do it. I mean, you just roll up on that situation, practice simulation. It may not be anything like it, but it prepares you for situations that come up. You can do hands-on training. Come here. I'm going to go out and pray for some folks. You're coming with me. You're going to pray with me. I have my kids walk with me in prayer lines and pray for people. By the way, please stop saying that you pray on people. Okay? I know that's pigeon, but it's weird. Praying on people is like lions praying on zebras. Like you want to pray for them, not on them, right? All right, amen. Cool. Coaching and mentoring. You are the best coach that your kids could possibly have. Why? Because you actually love them things. Why? Because you either pushed them out of your body or you had help. You helped put them in there. You know what I mean? It's important that you love your kids and you can coach them and mentor them because you love them. That is the best kind of coaching and mentoring that you can possibly have. Because people that don't care, they just don't care. You ever see a coach that don't care? I see them all the time in like, you know, community leagues or whatever, and they just happen to be a parent of one of the kids and they really don't want to be there, and you can tell. You can lecture them. Oh, we give lectures. We give lectures. We had a lecture the other night about having an excellent spirit. Why? Because you could throw the dog's leash onto the table in a pile, or you could wrap it up nicely. You could wad up the wet towel and throw it on the floor, or you could hang it up where it will dry and not stink later on. It took all of 2 seconds, but it was an excellent spirit. You see, it doesn't take a long time to have an excellent spirit, but it changes everything. We want our kids to have an excellent spirit. That was a training moment. I mean, how would you like it if somebody just came up to you and just prayed for you any kind? Like, yeah, God, you know. Whatever. Next. I mean, can you imagine if somebody didn't even take time to like connect with you and like, oh man, I'm believing with you for God to heal that in your life. It's important to teach our kids through things like lectures how to live a godly life. I'm almost done. Group discussions and tutorials, that's another great way. Teach them how to do it in a group. Grab other people, bring them around. Talk about how to do this. If they don't know how to lead somebody to Jesus, I mean, if your kids literally do not know how to do that, they don't know that there's two components. You got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Number two, you got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If they don't know those two things, I think most kids can remember two things. You know how I know that? Because they know all them Fortnite dances. They know them all. I can do it. I'm just not because I thought it was funny. They can remember more than two things. There's 4 buttons on the right-hand side of a PS4 controller. They can remember 2 things. If they don't know how to do that, how can they be a Christian and lead people to Jesus? We got to train them. Role-playing, you can do role-playing. Parents, this is your opportunity to be a total heathen. Get your kids to get you born again. I mean, wear your swim trunks and let them baptize you in the bathtub. Or when you go to the beach, teach them how to baptize you. I mean, just role play. Why not? Our kids would baptize each other every single night. They had communion service right there in the bathtub. Baptism, everything. I mean, before they could even say the word anointing, they were like, anointing. Telling you. And you know what? We fell out under the power of God. Why? Because we want them to learn that when you pray for somebody in the power of God, something's going to happen. Well, you're just training them to do fake things. Look, I'm teaching them to walk this thing out. And eventually the anointing is going to get in them. And the next thing that you know, they're going to be laying hands on heads and something powerful is going to come out of them. But you're going to wait until they get anointed before they lay hands on people? Ain't going to happen. They're not going to do it. Why? Because when they're a little kid, they have no shame. They smack you in the face. Anointing. Boom, you go down. Go down for them. Just. That's your opportunity for a nap. All right, I got to end this. I want to give you 7 things that are going to make you say ouch on the inside. Parents, these are some important evaluation questions that you ought to ask yourself about how you're parenting. This means spiritual parenting if you don't have kids of your own. Kids, you should respond to this stuff how somebody's teaching you and respond to those things. Because anybody can have a coach, but if they are not coachable, you don't want them on your team. Be easy to coach. Be easy to be trained. Let the narrow life come upon you. Why? Because there's good stuff on the other side. Listen, here's some important evaluation questions. Number one, as fathers, as parents, as spiritual leaders, as kids, if you got friends, how many of you got friends? Oh, praise the Lord, because if you didn't raise your hand, I was going to make you come up here. I'll pray for you because there's something wrong with you. If you got friends, this is you leading your friends that don't know Jesus, because you're the light in the darkness. You're the salt of the earth. You are the city built on a hill that cannot be hid. It's important that you do this with your friends. Listen, number one, as fathers, as teachers, as role models, are we teaching through modeling an authentic, listen, authentic example? Are we teaching our children to have a zeal and a love for God's house? If all our kids find out is that we're finding another excuse to not be in God's presence, I'm telling you, they're going to build that into their life. They're going to have more excuses than you can even think of. I remember this one time, we were in an ice cream joint, so my kids were hopped up or about to be hopped up on sugar. They weren't yet, but I remember that Dakota started acting up. He was real young still. And this was back when we actually still needed to discipline them in certain ways. And we kind of don't have to do that anymore because they've learned. And so he's acting up, and I'm telling him, don't do that. What does he do? Does it. And then when I scoop him up, he's like, Dad, there's no bathroom here. For those of you that know a little bit about the pow-pow, you know what I'm talking about. There's no bathroom here. It's like, ho, my son, I have ways that you know not of. I remember one time he was like, oh, you don't have the spanking spoon. You don't have the paddle with you. I was like, no, but I got weightlifting straps. He's like, oh, that's not going to hurt. He's serving the Lord strong today, my friends. Serving the Lord strong. Are we doing this? Are we demonstrating a visible commitment to the basics of Christianity? Demonstrating it, not talking about it. Demonstrating it, reading the Bible daily, praying daily, communing with God daily, worshiping God daily, prioritizing God daily. Can I say the T word? It's not what you think. Tithing, get your mind out of the gutter. Tithing. Are we tithing? Are we letting our kids see us tithe? Because if all they know is that we got food and we got everything that we need, and I always see mom and dad walk up to the thing, or maybe they don't because you give electronically and you don't do what we ask you to do, which is present yourself before the Lord. Maybe they don't ever see that. So for all they know, you don't give to God at all. You're training them to do that. Train them narrow. Number three, modeling. Are you modeling obedience to God as well as or better than we expect our children to be obedient to us? I don't know about you, but I expect my kids to be obedient to me the first time that I talk. The first time. Not after I've counted to 2.5 17 times. You notice that people that count to 3 never get to 3? They always start back at 1. Because discipline is not fun for parents either. But I expect that my kids will listen to me and obey me the first time. How about when God talks to me? Am I going to wait until God has to send a prophet or am I going to listen the first time? Number four, showing our kids, our children, how to have a God-first response or to have a natural first response. What is our first response? Freak out! Rule number one in my house is no freaking out. There will be no freaking out. We will respond to God. We will not panic. We will respond to God. Amen. You see, we can either say, here, pop these pills, or we can say, come here, let me pray for you. Parents, how are you handling it? Yeah. How are you directing your kids? Are you directing them to the Lord, or are you directing them to natural things? Because if you want them to live a supernatural life, you cannot direct them to natural things. Number five, demonstrating Christ's love for his bride through the way that we love and we give ourselves to our wife. Guys, fathers, husbands, I'm talking to you. How you love your wife is going to be a representation to them of how Christ loves the church. If you are nasty to your wife, they are going to pick up that Christ is nasty to his church. Have I ever been nasty to my wife? Oh, yes, I have. You betcha. Nasty. But I've been changed. I'm working on it. I'm still getting better. And you know what? When I'm wrong, I make it a point that I ask for forgiveness publicly. It is important that we do these things. Number six, I told you there's seven. I'm almost done. Exemplifying. Are we exemplifying and talking about things like giving? Living by faith. What does that even look like? Obedience to and reliance upon God in tough situations. Man, this situation is tough, but you know what? We're going to trust God. Or are we saying, you know, this situation is sucky. I really don't like it. I'm going to punch somebody in the face. Up to you. How do you want to train your kids to respond to God? Are we acting godly in response to unfavorable circumstances and relationships? Sometimes those can be marital relationships, sometimes a relationship with your kid. How are you responding to those things? Finally, are we showing the way and training our children into that way, or are we just hoping that they're going to end up there? You know, I'm going to skip over a few things, but a huge part of supernatural fathering and parenting is positioning, equipping, and training our children to follow a supernatural God supernaturally. We got to train them. The world is not going to train them. They go to sex ed class. They don't learn about the bounds of marriage and sex within marriage and how beautiful and how wonderful it is. They just learn how to do it. That is what they learn. I think we ought to have more influence in our kids' lives than the school has. Right. Training is purposeful, and the results of training are rarely obtained accidentally. Yeah. Parents, we've got to know how to do it. We've got to know it. We've got to do it, and we've got to live it before we can pass it on effectively to our kids. Look, I know it's hard. I know it sounds hard, but I believe in you. You can do it. Remember, what you want for your kids is for them to be better people than you are. What you want is for them to accomplish more than you ever accomplish. What you want for your kids is for them to live a better life than you ever live. Am I right? If that's what you want, then let me give you a quote real quick as we close. Don't decrease the goal, increase the effort. Sometimes we just change that goal. Oh, I'm going to go for a 5-mile run, a mile and a half into the run. We're like, what in God's name did I just do? And we're like, I think 1.75 miles sounds real good. No, don't decrease the goal, increase the effort. So if we haven't been living there with God, increase the effort. If that's what you want for your kids, increase the effort. Don't decrease the goal. Here's the one last thing. If you're going to remember anything from this message, I want you to remember this one thing. Live it, then train it. Live it, then train it. Train it. Get after it. Work after that narrow life. The big desires that you have for your children's lives are absolutely possible through Christ. Train them to live supernaturally. Can you say amen? Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for every mom, every dad, every child in this place that's responding correctly to their parents. God, give us the grace. Give us the mercy. Give us the goodness, Lord God, to be able to live your way. Help us as good coaches, mentors, and trainers to train our kids to live a narrow life for you so that they can have the best life, so they can have an overcoming life, a 10 times better life. God, we bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you welcome Pastor Jolie as she closes us today?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jake. That was a great word. And whether you're a dad or not, hope that you got a lot out of it and you're able to apply that into your life to train up your children if you have them. If you don't have children of your own, there's lots of younger ones that need training and need mentoring and can use the encouragement to live a supernatural life. So look for those opportunities this week. We've got a lot going on this week. Don't forget your Connect groups. If you are a part of Connect group, we encourage you go faithfully, continue to build those strong, lasting relationships that will be a blessing to your life and that you can be a blessing to other people's lives too. It's not just about us. It's about others. And if you don't have a Connect group, you can find out what Connect groups are available either by visiting our app, our website, or you can see the Welcome Center, and our ladies will help you out and be happy to answer any of your questions about facilitators, locations, times, and all of that. We want to welcome you back next week, Sunday. We have service right here. Starts at 9:30 a.m. with prayer first. And the Bible says that Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So we start with prayer, and then we worship, and we'll get into the word together again next week. Bring a friend. Bring somebody who needs to hear what you're hearing. There's a world out there that needs to hear about the love of God, and that's why we're here, is to be a blessing to them. So invite somebody. Bring them. Provide a ride for them. Offer to them to buy them lunch or coffee after church, and do what you can to compel them. Let's not forget that we are here to serve other people and to show the way. Amen? Awesome. We love you guys. Be blessed. If you're a guest here today, we want to welcome you again, and we're so glad that you made it. We invite you to join us for some refreshments that we have for everybody, because we, even though we break down and we have to get, you know, chairs stacked and everything, we want to spend the first 15 minutes of our time getting to know you and spending time building relationship with you. People are important. So we hope that you'll enjoy the refreshments that have been provided, and don't forget to meet our friends, the Borgias, if you haven't met them, and said hi to them. Love on them. We don't know how long they're going to be here, but we love you guys. We're so glad you're here. Awesome. Have a great day. Be blessed.